Song of Solomon.
Very.
Song of Solomon. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Song of Solomon tonight. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Help Brother Barry as he reads for us. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 4.
Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointment, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore, his virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chamber. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love.
Can you say amen to the reading of the word?
Amen.
Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointments poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. The Song of Solomon is a beautiful love song, and it has deepness. The depths of its spiritual meaning is not to be taken lightly. I have, in my times, accumulated probably 10 or 15 commentaries, old writers, that have written on the book of Solomon's songs. Most of them agree to the most part, but very few of them had the Holy Ghost like we do. When you have the Holy Ghost, it becomes a different book. It speaks of the love, the unique love that a child of God has for his Savior. Solomon was a wise man. God blessed him with wisdom. His writings are not to be taken lightly, because there was a gift of God on his life that made him uniquely different, even from David. David wrote his psalms, sung his songs. Solomon went into the depth of love. And in that unique and only book of the Bible that draws the veil aside and lets us step into the holy and the intimate communion that a child of God can have with its Savior. You know, most of us don't even think that God wants to spend time with us. But this Bible just simply refutes that and says to us that God would love to spend time with you in an intimate way.
Amen.
To know the depths of God.
Right.
Who is it that knows the depths of God, or the width of God's love, or the height of God's love? It's beyond knowledge. But here in this book, we have fellowship with the heavenly bridegroom.
Yes,
and we have his bride, the church.
Yes.
And it is like stepping into holy ground.
Amen.
Holy communion. Listen again with that thought in mind as the bride looks upon her king and says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now that isn't to be taken lightly. You see, when we look at him, it's not a forward thing. Let him kiss me. She is not trying to kiss him. Her desire is that she could have a closeness with him. Let him kiss me. Let him come close to me. Let him come near to me. And I don't want his kisses on paper. I don't want his kisses in a verse. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. She wants to have communion with her king. She wants an intimate relationship with him. She wants to know his love for her, and his love for her is deeper than she can ever imagine. And he is going to give her that love in this book. And if you read it, what she says about his love, she says to him, thy love is better than wine. Amen. If wine is intoxicating, she said, I can really get high on your kisses. If wine can make a man's head dizzy, your love can spin me around like a top.
Come on now. Come on.
That is not a limp wrist. That's a holy love. That is not a sensual, sexual, dirty, perverted love. That's a love that is beyond words of description. You see, when we say that he loved us and gave himself for us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, then listen to him as he says, greater love hath no man than this, than he lay his life down for a friend. Then think of the love that he's talking about, no greater love. And there's only one who laid his life down for a sinner. And in laying his life down for a sinner, washed that sinner's stains away. We went from stained to whiter than snow. We went from dirty, filthy, vulgar to whiter than snow. And there was nothing behind it but love. Nothing drove him but love for us. Amen. And it's holy ground. You won't mind if I take it slow as I come close to this holy ground, because you cannot read this book without feeling deeply impressed about the love of this person for this woman's love for him and this church's love for her Savior, as the thought is only intensified by the personal love for Christ that can make a difference in your life.
Right.
You see, it's easy to say, I love him with all my heart. But man, if you loved him with all your heart, you would go after him with a holy desire.
Amen. Yeah.
Like a wino after another bottle. Do anything to get it.
Yes,
can I get an amen?
Amen.
Like a drugged person wanting another fix. Anything to get it. Jesus was so intoxicated with us that he left the throne room of God to come to live among us so that he may love us and by loving us, win us to himself. Anybody going to shout amen?
Amen?
We can pray without this communion. You can pray. You can send up prayers all day long without this communion. But this communion that we have here before us is more than prayer. It goes to where prayer cannot.
Yes, sir.
There's a time when you quit praying and you go to moaning. It's a time when words lose their expression. There's times when you cannot say it. And you end up like Peter saying, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. When your eyes are finally unveiled and you get the scales from your eyes and he asks you that question, Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And you stutter and you stammer and you look at your past and say, Lord, I failed you. I'm not what you think I am. I'm not what I ought to be. And then you throw up hands and say, Lord, thou, you know that I love you. Here is that personal ground. It is only possible when our whole being goes out to him. You can't make half-hearted love with him. You can't make half-hearted love out of this. You can't see half-hearted love in it. This is not a passing fancy. This right here is love. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. You see, it's not a dirty thing. It's not like the loud-mouthed women that lead men down like oxes to the slaughter that you find in Proverbs. This is a virgin's love. This is a young lady who has never gave her love to anyone, but she has found that one. And all of a sudden she is moved because of who he is and what he is. Let me say something to my young ladies. If you're going to court and you're going to look for somebody to give yourself to, let me tell you what to start with. Start with character. Look first at the young man's character. Does he have any? Is it worth talking about? What kind of a character he is will be what kind of man you get. If all he talks to you about is for you to lower yourself, he's not got any character. If all he can tell you is, just because that's the way your mom and dad believes, you don't have to believe that way. That is not character. Oh, moms and dads ought to be shouting glory to God. Amen. The pastor is about to preach here. Character is essential to conduct. If you do not have good character, you will not have good conduct. So therefore, look first at his character. And you won't have to worry about his conduct. Amen. Amen. She simply says of him that your name is like an ointment poured forth. Thy name is as an ointment poured forth. She simply means that in the community where this king lived, he had such a name, it was intoxicating itself. Did you ever follow a woman when the breeze was blowing into her face and you were behind her? Did you ever follow one? If she has just got through fixing herself, you're going to get intoxicated with the aroma. The smell. Hey, I'd rather be that way than to be repulsed by the smell. Somebody's got such convictions, they don't believe in deodorant. Lord, save me and give me some convictions. That expensive perfume can fill your nostrils till you won't forget it for a while. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
This is what this young man's character was. His character was like ointment poured forth. And his name became renowned because of his character. And his name became like an ointment poured forth. That means that when he walked into a room, everybody noticed him. And there is something about purity that everybody can sense. And there's something about rottenness that everybody can sense. Of the two, I would rather have good character than I would to be thought rotten to the core. I wish you'd help me. You see, I want to talk to my young people just a little bit about courting, and then I'm going to talk to you about the rest of this scripture. But first, I need you young men. Some of you are so young, you don't have a thing to worry about. Some of you are so old, you're worrying about it. But I'd like to settle it tonight, if I could, and try to give you some insight. What you look for, number one, is character. If you don't have character, they won't have conduct. If they don't have conduct, they will not be disciplined. You are going to marry a renegade. And sooner or later, he will walk out on you.
Amen. All right.
Sooner or later, she will see somebody else who will entice her more than you. The Bible warns you against bad women. This is a book. You think that in this book there would be some instructions about courting, and there is. Real good instructions about courting can be found in this old black back book. Some folks said it's just a boring old book. That's because you read it with a carnal mind. You are to try the Holy Ghost. When you get anointed, pick up your Bible and say, Lord, I would rather read this with your understanding than I would to run around the church, jump up and down and holler hallelujah. I would like for you to take me into this book and give me some answers. And you will find in this book that God prizes purity above every other qualification. Purity above education. Purity above talent. Purity above beauty. Purity above riches. Because with purity, you can go a mighty long ways with God. But with immorality, your ship has hit the rocks. Immorality will sink you. It will take away your character. It will impoverish your conduct. It will take away your principles. And then you will always be marred by that decision you made. So number one, character. If you cannot trust him now, you will not trust him, be able to trust him later. If you cannot trust her now, you will not be able to trust her later.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
And I do believe, I solemnly believe, that when you stand before a preacher and you take those vows, they are for life.
Right.
You say, now, Brother Benny, yes, I am your pastor. Yes, I know your hurts. Yes, I know your difficulties. Yes, I know your sorrows. Yes, I understand. But I've got three pews of young people that I must set their sails correctly so they can catch the wind and avoid the rocks.
All right. Amen. All right.
And when you get on the ship of matrimony, the only thing that can separate you is the tombstone of one or the other of you. Till death do us part. A I wish I had a church that helped me preach. Moms and dads, Solomon wrote this great love story. The bride calls the bridegroom out of her heart of fervent love. Thy name is as an ointment poured forth. The Bible teaches that our Lord had many names, a list of them, long list. But Isaiah was moved by this Holy Ghost, and he said of his names, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All of those are just one single name. It is not a plural, it is a single name. Right there, his name, singular, shall be called, and the list of his names. Some say Father is not a name, it's a title. But here it's called a name. John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. But the bride simply says, thy name is as an ointment poured forth. She considered it. She considered his name. She was refreshed by his name. His name was a fragrance, and it soothed and had healing power. How many knows there's power in the name of Jesus? Can you say it with me? Jesus. Can you say it? You can't call him Lord except by the Holy Ghost. You can say the name Jesus. It's common. But then we must step up. And we must say, Lord. Lord Jesus. He's my Lord. The name gathers more fragrance. Lord. Lord of all, Lord of heaven, Lord of earth, all powers given unto him in heaven and in earth, Lord of all, Lord of creation, Lord of salvation, Lord of my future, Lord of my past, Lord of all that I am, Lord of all that I can be, he's Lord. He's Lord of all, or he's Lord of nothing. So I say he's Lord. And he's my Jesus, and he's the Christ.
Amen. Yes.
So when I put the name Lord Jesus Christ, it separates him from every man that's ever been born.
Right.
For there's only one Son of God,
right.
And that great name is an intoxicating name. I've never got over it. I never got over the name of Jesus. I still get intoxicated when I think about his name. It does two things, this name. It refreshes and is a fragrance. And it soothes with healing power. So not only does it refresh you and leaves a fragrance in your life, but it also has healing in the name. Can anybody shout amen?
Amen.
How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrow, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. Jesus. My sweet Jesus. Hallelujah. There's two kinds of suffering that we go through. Physical and mental. How many's ever had physical suffering?
Yes, sir.
How many's ever had mental suffering?
Yes, sir.
So there's two different kinds right there. One, the name of Jesus, rightly believed and rightly understood, heals both. The name of Jesus can reach your physical problems.
Right.
And the name of Jesus can reach your mental problems.
Right. Yes, sir.
He's Lord of all.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Faith in the name of Jesus not only heals physical sickness, it brings to pass at the healing for mental sickness. It was the great Smith Wigglesworth who was praying for somebody. And they were getting worse and was heading for death. And Smith Wigglesworth could not do it by himself. And he went down out of the house and gathered a bunch of of Christians and brought them back, and they circled the bed. They held hands, and all they said was, in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know what happened? Amen. The man started moving in the bed. Then the man said, get my clothes, I'm getting up. And it wasn't long until him and Smith Wigglesworth were walking down the stairs together. For there is power in the name of Jesus. What would happen tonight if we could just link hearts for a while? And just link hands for a while? And we would say Jesus. And we would say it as the only name in which we had faith. We would say Jesus. And we would believe that healing will come in that name.
Amen.
We would say Jesus and believe that he would come with mental healing in that name. And if he comes with mental healing, he'll heal that worry. He'll take that fretting spirit. He'll take that pain of unbelief from you. He can make you have a song in the night. Where you're always chewing your fingernails down to the quick, you can have claws like an eagle. If I could just get you to say the name of Jesus and believe it's like a fragrance poured forth, and that fragrance will fill your body, fill your soul, and fill your spirit. It will go home and fill your house with peace. It will cause even your enemies to be at peace with you. Because if Jesus gets in you, it will change your life. Hallelujah. Faith in the name of Jesus. It's worked for centuries. There was a man got hurt in church. And that sliver of bitterness got in his heart. He carried it around, and the more that he did, he got hurt deeper and deeper. He got hurt and offended in the house of God. It's one thing to have a splinter in your finger. You can dig it out. But there's no way to get a hold of it when it gets in your heart. All the anguish of wounds received in the house of a friend. They're hard to forget. And they're hard to forgive. Let down, disappointed. Hurt, disgusted. All of that goes with this thing. The dear brother, he felt so keenly aware of his hurt that he noticed it was taken and deriving him asleep. He carried it for a week and then a little longer. And then finally one night he said, Lord, I can't go no further with this. And he just laid back in bed and starts saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. For hours he said Jesus. And then all of a sudden he felt a difference. He said Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then he felt the pain diminishing some more. And he said Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And finally, he fell asleep into a dead sleep. And when he woke in the morning, the sliver was gone. There is healing in the name of Jesus. You won't get it by calling up your neighbor and telling him what a bad deal you got. You won't get it by going and rehearsing the pain over and over and over. But you can find relief if you take it to Jesus. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. That heals the hurt. You say, there ain't no healing in kisses. Why does your little child let you kiss their hurts? Come here and let mommy kiss that thing.
Hello.
Just a touch of mama's mouth and all of a sudden pain disappears. It's love, man. Don't you understand that? Mama loves me. Mama cares if I'm hurt. Mama knows when I'm hurt. Come on, somebody help me. Don't you think if Mama knows, don't you think that Jesus knows? Can't you tell him about it? You don't have to tell him about it. He knows about it. But when you're saying it from your heart, when you're seeking him with your heart, when you're saying that name from the depths of your heart, when you're saying there's no one else I can turn to, there's no one else I can go to, there's no one else that will help me, there's no one else that understands what I'm going through. The name of Jesus can not only heal you of your physical pain, the name of Jesus can bring peace to your mental pain. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. You see, it's right there. The power in the name of Jesus to soothe our sorrows. It can take sorrow and replace it with joy. The name of Jesus is a sweet smelling savor. Amen. It does not reproach. It is not repugnant. It's sweet. It's easy. It is entertaining. You want to open the doors and let it in your house. And if you can only open the heart door,
come on.
If you can only get the courage to throw open that heart, it's been hurt. I know it's been hurt. I know you've been hurt. I know you feel like you've been betrayed. I know it feels like it's bad. But if you can just open that heart door and let him come in with his healing balm, let him pour that ointment into that wound, I tell you, you can go home tonight on top of it, instead of it on top of you.
Right. Come on.
Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not only our sins, but from every other thing that hurts. Have you been there, preacher? I have been wounded. I have been disappointed. I have been. How did you get back in the pulpit? I trusted in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, I don't understand why my brothers turned on me. I don't understand why they are keeping me arm's length away. I was just loving those that had fallen. I was just reaching out as you told me to. If you see your brother overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, go to him in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. And I said, Lord, I'm hurt. I caught the stone that they threw at him. It hit me. But then I went back to my altar and I said, Jesus, you understand. Jesus, you understand. It was you who taught me how to pray. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. So I turned to embrace them. I turned back to draw a circle that was bigger. They drew a circle that drew me out. I drew the circle bigger and drew them back in. The name of Jesus will help you draw the circle that will draw them back in.
Yes, sir.
I wish somebody help me preach. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's his name. God has given him a name that you can ask anything in that name, and God has said, I will do it. Oh, saint of God, you're hurting in vain. I don't want you to hurt anymore. I don't want you to be wounded no more. The message tonight is for you. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It'll comfort, give you everywhere you go. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth, joy of heaven. Can you say the name with me? Jesus. Jesus, here I am. Jesus, here I am. See my hurt. See my doubt. See my fear. Jesus, here I am. I didn't mean for this to happen. I didn't want to end up this way. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to hurt anyone else. Jesus, will you help me? Will you help me? I feel the Holy Ghost coming into this house. I feel the Spirit of the Lord coming near. I think He's here to help. In fact, I'm assured that He's here to rescue. Because if you don't get help tonight, tomorrow the hole is going to be deeper. And you're going to have a hard time getting back in and back up. Oh, friend, don't take it any further. Don't go on any further. I feel, I know you're here, and I know you're hurt. But God can heal, and God can help you forget. And forgive those that have wounded you. It's not closed up. It's poured forth. He doesn't want it to be confined. He wants it to go everywhere there's a hurting heart and a hurting body. He wants that name to come to you. He wants you to believe in that name. He wants you to receive help tonight in that name. He don't want you to go down that road any further because you're going to have a hard time turning around after a while. In fact, I can see you down the road with your hands throwing up and just saying, that's it. That's all I can take. My precious child, why do you not come? Bring that to me. Bring it to me. I can heal your hurt. I can cure that bruise. I can make it go away. But you must bring it to me. I ask you, please, come to me. Don't go to somebody else. Come to me. I have healing, and I will heal. I have help, and I will give it to thee. Yea, saith the Lord, do not trust thine own self. Do not lean upon your own flesh, for it will deceive you. But I say to thee tonight, come, 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 come quickly, come now. I wait to receive you, saith the Lord. Jesus, 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 won't you come? He's in this house. You want revival? Here is revival. He's come to heal your hurt so you can get strong and back on the firing line. Here is revival. It's more than a run and a shout. It's making a whole person out of you again. Will you let him make you whole? Come. 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 Oh, come, 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 come on.
Janie.
Come. You've been disappointed? Bring it to Jesus. Come, 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 bring it to Jesus, bring it to Jesus. Come now, bring it to the Lord.